I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Drive for Show, DFS for Dough here on Roto Grinders. We've got another week of golf talk here upon us on a Tuesday night. A little bit of a different format this week with the team event, but kind of a fun little interlude here in between a bunch of high-profile tournaments to have something a little bit different. So we'll break that down for you here tonight. There are no snake drafts available on DraftKings this week, so we'll have to axe the usual end of show snake draft, and there's 80 teams of golfers, so and quite a few kind of low end teams at the bottom. So probably won't take us a ton of time to get through everything, but still wanted to give you a show for this week. Of course, coming off another event, a Monday finish this past week, which did not bother Scottie Scheffler, continues to ride the wave. Now 4 wins in his last 5 starts, pretty incredible stuff. So I, of course, am Justin Van Zuden, STL Cardinals 84. I've got Derek Farnsworth alongside. And, Noto, pretty incredible run here by Mr. Scheffler. He's just not slowing down. The baby's going to be the only thing slowing him down.
He's too good. I don't know if he's better at golf or if the PGA Tour is worse at reading the weather report. Because, man, I thought
you were tilting that.
I just don't get it. I mean, didn't go out early, went out in twosomes. They even posted the weather report the night before, the morning of, saying there's going to be thunderstorms, and they went with it anyway. But ended up with a Monday finish with 70 golfers in the field.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. Plenty of time, of course, to avoid that in whichever way they would have chosen, but they didn't do it. Good thing for Scheffler that the baby didn't come overnight there. That would have been an interesting storyline. But anyway, he still gets the victory. Ended up coming out Monday morning and winning by like 4 strokes there. But could you have imagined what that leaderboard would have been like? Like if you took Scheffler out of there, there was like 10 guys within a stroke of each other there at the top.
Yeah, I had an outright on Wyndham Clark. So when he got in at 15, I thought there was a very small chance if they kept playing in the bad weather, but then they blew the horn. And unfortunately Scheffler didn't have his baby. So yeah, I mean, the guy's just so good. Even on the par 5 on the back 9, hit in the water, trying to lay up, still makes par from like 150 yards. He's just so good. It's impressive.
Yeah, definitely nothing like we've seen in golf since Tiger's prime. So kudos to Scheffler for getting another win. And again, a lot of guys there that were just a stroke or two back would have been a really interesting playoff. So if you take Scheffler out of it, let's see, we would have ended up with 6 guys finished 4 shots back. Kirk, Poston, Tigala, Clark, Morikawa, and Rogers. Talk about some pretty big names there for what would have been a 6-way playoff. But they were all 4 shots behind Scheffler. And then Thomas, Hoagie, Cantlay, and Oberg just a shot behind that group. And Hoagie, we can do this with an asterisk because Hoagie just kind of rushed his final hole and made like a 9, I believe. He didn't want to be out there on Monday. So, he would have, probably won in that circumstance if we would have taken Scheffler out, but who knows how things would have gone. We can do hypotheticals till the sun comes up, but always a fun event. I like Harbortown a lot. I'm happy that we don't have Scheffler here probably for a few weeks, just because, you know, it just becomes the same discussion every week about what to play Scheffler at X price and X ownership. And I kind of tended to be underweight the last few weeks, which obviously has not worked out. So maybe that's part of my bias coming through there. But any other takeaways from last week's event from your end?
I mean, the Hoagie Nine was pretty incredible. I think he drove his first drive out of bounds and then they blew the horn. And I think he was just like, well, I'm getting out of here since I started the hole. And made a mess of it. And then we had Patrick Cantlay. I don't know if you saw him. So he hit his drive. He didn't have to hit his drive. And then he hit his second, and everyone's sitting there saying, his caddy better, you know, be tackling him, not letting him hit the second. And for every reason, he hits the second and then doesn't finish the hole. Comes out the next morning. I mean, he still ended up making par, but I didn't understand the thought process behind, if you're going to hit the second shot, isn't that because you want to finish and get out of there?
Right. You would think so. Yeah. If you weren't going to finish anyway, you might as well hold off on the second shot, particularly since the weather was going to be a little bit better in the morning, you would think. So it certainly wasn't going to be worse. But that's how it all played out. A little bit of a weird finish there. And like Noto said, a little misread of the weather from PGA Tour HQ, but they can't seem to get out of their own way anymore. But we'll put that one in the rearview mirror. We will move forward. We've got the Zurich Classic this week. Used to be kind of a lower profile full field event. It's been about 7 years now. They moved that to a team event, and that has, you know, kind of stuck since. We've got 80 pairs of golfers, so 160 golfers will be teeing it up in 80 pairs. And the cut line is like top 35 in ties, 33 in ties, something weird like that for the guy. You know, is it 33 in ties?
Yeah, 33.
Top 33 in ties for some odd reason. They've chosen that arbitrary number. So 33 in ties is the cut line. And what was one of the easier courses on tour when it was played as a full field event, but now with the team event, it'll be kind of like a Ryder Cup type of format in that you'll see a couple rounds where the four players will all play their own ball. And then you'll have some where it's alternate shot and they take the four ball, they take the best score from the two guys and then the alternate shot. Those rounds, I believe, is the second and the fourth round. The scoring is a little more difficult, but usually still plenty of birdies out there. So what do you make of the course this week?
Yeah, didn't put a ton of effort into looking at the course just because we don't have shot link data from the last 5 years that they played it, ever since they went to the team event. But Pete Dye design, par 72, 7,425 yards, water's in play on six holes. Greens are Poa Trivialis overseed. Greens are pretty small, 5,200 square feet on average. And yeah, I mean, the name of the game is going to be making birdies, especially the rounds 1 and 3 when they're playing best ball. And then 2 and 4, it's just kind of like, hold on for dear life. Hope your partner doesn't put you in really bad spots. But for me, it's less about the course and more about targeting teams that either have chemistry or line up well together. Do you think it's better to have golfers with similar skill sets so that they're putting each other in spots that they would normally be in, or alternate skill sets to where the guy's a bad putter, maybe his teammate's picking him up, something like that?
Well, you skirted around your own question, which I have a problem with in the survey. But no, all kidding aside, I think the correlated skill sets work. I mean, if you're a guy that is dead straight off the tee most of the time, right, you're not going to be hitting it from the forest. I don't know. You can probably make the argument, say whatever you want it to say, but I would say guys with similar skill sets makes a little bit more sense. The opposing skill sets, maybe that's a little bit more risk reward. They can bail each other out, like you say. So, I don't know, the similar skill set makes the most intuitive sense to me.
Yeah. And experience playing together. I mean, we've seen Xander and Cantlay win this event. We've seen Cam Smith and Leishman play well together. Louis, I can't remember who Louis played with, but they lost in a playoff. So it does seem like, you know, President's Cup experience, Ryder Cup experience, or just, you know, past experience at this event definitely helps. We have three brothers in the field, which I think is kind of cool. Three sets of brothers.
Yeah, three sets of brothers. We don't have the Koepkas anymore. We do have the Fitzpatricks. We've got a 64-year-old golfer in the field that hasn't teed it up on the PGA Tour in like a decade. I want to know the story behind how he got an invite from Eric Cole. But
is that who that? I saw his partner and I didn't know who he was.
Yeah, he's a 64-year-old dude that hasn't played a PGA Tour event since 2011.
So you're saying I can finally fade Eric Cole.
Somebody mentioned that it was akin to the Jazz calling up Karl Malone for a couple of games. In current day, Karl Malone. Who's the other sets of brothers we got this week?
The Cooties, the Fitzpatricks, and
I was scrolling through. I can't find the third one unless they don't have the same last name.
The Højgaards. And we also have the two Woos in the field, but they're not together and they're not brothers.
All right, so double Woo, but no brothers there. Yes, the Højgaards. I scrolled right through them. All right, Fitzpatrick's, Højgaards, Cooties, Cootie Brothers, not actual Cooties. But all right, we'll go ahead and dig into it here. Again, probably won't take us a ton of time to get through this, but interesting week, difficult week kind of to peg where ownership's going to land, other than to know that Cantlay and Schauffele will probably be the most popular duo in the field. I mean, they're only 11-2, so it's not like the 13K Scheffler pricing has been applied to Schauffele and Cantlay this week. And we've got them at 45% ownership right now. So what are you planning to do? I guess we can just talk about them on their own. What are you planning to do with them this week? Good history at this event as well.
Yeah, I mean, they have the Scheffler outright odds that like 4-1, but they don't have the Scheffler price tag. So I think you just play them. If you're making one lineup, I wouldn't try getting cute and fading them. Whether that's tournaments or cash games, they played here three times, 11th, first and fourth. They have an incredible record at both the President's Cup and the Ryder Cup. Best friends. They both fit the course well. They have, you know, complementary skill sets. So I'm playing them. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'll, again, probably be under the field just because this is a tournament that, although they've played well here, obviously, in the past, does lend itself to a little bit of variance given the format. And you know, I just think if the ownership is going to hit like 45-50%, I'm not going to full fade them. That's burned me enough with Scheffler, but I think in my GPP builds, you know, I think playing them like 25 or 30% is probably where I'm going to land this week, and I'm fine with that. So that's my
opinion. They feel less safe than Scheffler.
They feel less what?
Less safe than Scheffler on most weeks.
Oh, yeah, Scheffler's just a lock every week. Yeah, you just never know here, especially an alternate shot. You know, you get one wayward tee shot and penalty or something, you know, things could happen. But if it was, you know, 20% ownership, I'd just say, yeah, let's roll and lock them in. But 45, that's a big number. And I think some of these other teams are certainly, you know, playable kind of right underneath them as well. So if we go to the rest of the kind of, the rest of the 10K range. Sorry. Let's see. It's hard because I've got DraftKings open and everything's doubled up. So the other teams above 10K, we've got Lowry and McIlroy, Tigala and Zalatoris, Kitayama and Morikawa. What do you like in there of those three?
Yeah, a lot of good options. I mean, it seems like there's more stars in the field than we typically get for this event, with Rory being the headliner. He hasn't been in the best of form, but now he gets to play with somebody that he's played the Ryder Cup with, especially just last fall, won it with Lowry and, you know, same, both from Ireland. I think they could play well together. Lowry's been striping his irons lately, just can't make a putt. That was the case again last week. So I think they're interesting. And then you have the complete opposite skill sets in Zalatoris and Tigala, in that one's the short game specialist, one's a good ball striker. I can't wait to see them in alternate shot. You know, if Zalatoris is left with some four footers, it's going to be pretty a lot of pressure there on Z. So we'll see about that. I know you like Kitayama, Morikawa, so give us a sell.
Yeah, I mean, Morikawa has just been seems like he's pretty well dialed in right now. Back to back top tens. Did fade just a touch on Sunday last week, but still continues to play well. And you look at Kitayama; he's made four cuts in a row, all of them top 40 finishes. missed the cut at the API, but that's his only missed cut on the season in 10 starts. So I like Morikawa and Kitayama here. I think, you know, Kitayama will be perceived as kind of the weak link out of all these 10K plus golfers. And maybe that it keeps it that group's ownership down a little bit. And this is also a good reminder, if you are using our Roto Grinders tools this week, so DraftKings has a rule that you can't use both golfers from the same team in the same lineup. So to prevent our tools from trying to give you both golfers from the same team, we only load one of each duo into lineup HQ. It'll serve you the same functionality, you know, because you can only roster one of them. It really makes no difference. So if you're looking for a player and you can't find them in lineup HQ, it's probably because their teammate is the one that's in there. So just FYI, in case any of you are using Roto Grinders to build your lineups and you run across that, just a weird limitation of the format this week. So yeah, I don't mind any of those groups. I'll probably be underweight on Tigala Zalatoris simply because I, again, especially at that range, I would prefer the complementary skill sets, but that's just my opinion there. So anything else on that? Otherwise, we can start going into the 9Ks and some of the groups you like in there.
Yeah, let's get to the 9Ks. I don't have a ton of interest in the Fitzpatricks. I don't know. I just don't know. You know, Alex hasn't played a whole lot this year, coming off of a miscut in his last start. Hasn't played in about a month. And then Matt, I mean, he's been fine. You know, four straight top 30s. But I don't know. I just don't. I feel like they're a little expensive. If I'm paying up, I'd rather get to one of the 10K options. Yeah, the Canadian duo, Pendrith and Connors, I think they're interesting, except both of them have really been struggling on the greens. So that's one of those teams that...
In the four ball, one of them's going to make the putt. They'll both hit it to 6 feet, and only one of them's got to make it.
No, both miss. and then you'll be really tilting. And then you have, you know, McNealy and Hoagie, who I think are interesting. McNealy's been awesome with the short game this season, pretty good off the tee too. And Hoagie's been on fire outside of his last hole last week. So I like them quite a bit. Another Canadian duo, Taylor and Hadwin, seems like they have a lot of chemistry together. They're always like waiting for each other, you know, on the 18th green whenever the other one's in contention. So I don't mind them. Then the Højgaard, I mean, I just want to root for the brother teams. It's just it would be a fun story if one of them ended up winning.
Yeah, for sure. And Hadwin and Taylor finished runner up here last year. So I like those Canadian duos as well, Pendrith and Connors. One of them's going to make the putts. And then Hadwin and Taylor, I think they're both fine. I think this range is super interesting. Probably out on Straka and Garnett right at 9K. Was super happy to see Billy Horschel win an event that was an alternate field event where I didn't have to worry about it burning me at all. So kudos to Horschel for winning the secondary event last week.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
And
yeah, remember 3 weeks ago I told you he was gonna win. I forgot to mention it was gonna be in a couple weeks, not at the Valero.
That's okay. It was close. It was in the proximity. So he is with Tyson Alexander. Kind of surprises me that they're all the way up to 8,900, but Horschel does actually have a pretty good history at this event. If you look at the last 5 years, I think he's top 15 every year. I'm still probably out on them this week. No team is probably going to have more fun than Keith Mitchell and Joel Damon this week. Those are a couple of teams that lead off the 8Ks. Who are you liking in here?
Yeah, it was good to see Horschel, you know, get the win. Won't have to worry about his card for a while now. Two more guys that can't putt in Dahman and Mitchell. I don't know what to expect from those two. They haven't played here together, but they have played with separate partners. They both played pretty well here. Dahman back-to-back top 30s. Keith Mitchell, a couple top 10s here. So they do have the course history angle. Then you have like the all short game team and Taylor Montgomery, Ben Griffin. I don't feel great about anyone. I'd probably lean to Hostler and Ryder. Ryder's been very good with his approaches. Hostler's been pretty good everywhere. Form's tailed off a little bit the last month or so, but they both played pretty well here in the past. They haven't been partners, but those would probably be my favorites in the mid to high eights. What about you?
Yeah, Hostler has a third place finish here last year, and then Ryder has a third place finish the year before. Like you mentioned, with different partners, they've kind of rotated around who they've played with at this event in the past. But that could be considered a good sign, too. I mean, developing chemistry and working with different golfers over the years, you can, you know, make a case for that benefiting you as well. They certainly have experience with the format of this being a team event. So Rye and Lipsky at 8,400, I think, are another team that's somewhat interesting. They've partnered up here each of the last 2 years with top 15 finishes. Otherwise, I don't love this range a whole lot. I think I'd probably lean towards Hostler and Ryder as well. But I like getting to the lower nines maybe a little bit more. I think Dahman and Mitchell are really interesting for tournaments as well. A couple of, you know, guys that maybe their skill sets are a little bit opposite too, but I kind of like that team. But I'll be underweight, I think, on a good chunk of the guys here in the upper eights. Anything else there? Otherwise, you can start moving to the bottom of the 8Ks.
Model really likes Chan Kim and Doug Gim. I don't have a strong take on them. You know, Gim's got a couple decent finishes here, but hasn't been great the last three starts. Chan Kim can make a lot of birdies, so they're a team, boomer bust team, but we have them below 8%, and my model likes them.
And their odds are like a lot better than some of the other guys in this price range as well.
Yeah, so I don't mind looking at them in tournaments, but if you're looking for cash games, I think, like you mentioned, playing the course history angle with Ryan Lipsky is going to be pretty smart.
Yeah. All right, who else do you like as we get to the bottom? Anybody else over 8K?
Got to get your take on Ryan Fox.
Oh, I thought you were going to give me Davis Thompson. Davis Thompson's in here, too. Oh, my guys.
Imagine if it was Thompson and Fox. You'd have to.
Oh, man, that'd just be an auto lock. Yeah, I think I like Thompson and Novak if I had to pick between my guys in here. I just don't think I can trust Higo. I don't know what Higo's been doing.
He 33rd, miscut.
Yeah, so I'll take Thompson and Novak. At least I know Novak's been doing something or another.
Yeah.
Don't think I can go with Berger right now.
That was Fox. Higo, also 33rd. Miscut, 32nd.
All right. So. I'm out on those guys. I think I'm out on that team right now. Give me Thompson and Novak. That's about it for the rest above 8K for me.
This week's been a nightmare to try to pull in the odds, pull in the course history, get the team.
It's a challenge, projection. For sure.
And nobody really cares about it. All this extra work.
And it's 1 week and then you throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
Hey, it's provides an opportunity to, if you win a GPP, it'll become one of your favorite tournaments of the year. So
true.
All right, let's go ahead and move into the 7Ks now. We've got, we've got Ekroth and Goderup in here. We've got Matt Wallace and Olesen. We've got CT Pan and Kevin Yu. Lee Hodges and Gary Woodland. Not a whole lot of good current form in here. But then you get down to where you're going to see some chalk. I don't know what the DraftKings algorithm has against Taylor Moore. But he's been in like the 7Ks and 6Ks for weeks. And now they're like 40-1. He's with Neesmith. They finished fourth here each of the last 2 years. So there's your chalk value at 7,700. Curious your take on what to do with the cheapish chalk there. And then what else do you kind of like in this mid 7K range?
Yeah. If you're building the cash game lineup, you're starting with probably Cantlay, Shoffley, and then going down to Neesmith and Taylor Moore. So I think they're strong. I think they're probably going to be higher owned than the 17 to 20% that we have right now, especially in single entry stuff, but back-to-back fourth place finishes here. I don't mind them. I like Michael Kim and KH Lee. You know, KH Lee, anytime you get him on a TPC course, makes a lot of sense. Michael Kim, he's made the cut here three straight years, I think. Maybe not 2022. It's hard to tell. T39 finish, but he's one of those guys, kind of does everything a little bit well. And then you have the defending champs and Riley and Hardy. Don't mind looking at them. Both of them have played well here the last 2 years. So, yeah, I don't like anybody in like the high sevens though. They all seem
that surprises me. You're not usually a Riley guy.
Yeah, it's more of the course history angle.
And they got to 30 under as the winning score here last year. And Riley had that win, of course, last year with Hardy. And then he also finished fourth with a different partner, which I can't remember off the top of my head the year before. And I don't have in front of me. But 7,500. They'll get some ownership this week as well. If I'm playing somebody chalky in this range, I think I prefer playing Moore and Neesmith. And I do like KH Lee and Michael Kim a little bit as well. Even though the form has kind of tailed off a little bit in recent weeks, particularly for Kim. And I like getting your value guys kind of from this range because it does really start to drop off. You get a lot of kind of older guys or has-beens or, you know, younger guys mixing in when you get towards the bottom of this range and into the 6Ks. I don't think we have anybody else. Yeah, below Riley and Hardy, everybody else is at least 100-1 to win. At least I'm looking on Noto's first look page here for this. So when we pulled those odds in, there was nobody else below 7,500 that was better than 100-1 to win the tournament. So I don't love a whole lot of the punt value. I don't mind Justin Lower and Dylan Wu. I think they're a team that could potentially be a sneaky top 10 contender. So they're at 7,400. And then if I had to go all the way down, it'd probably be to Justin Suh and Rico Hoey at 6,900. But again, they're also 150-1. Everybody in the 6Ks is 150-1 or worse. So not going to find a whole lot of low-end plays this week. Is there anybody else that that you're eyeing here under that 7,500 range?
And you know who's falling from grace is Ryan Palmer. He used to get the best event.
Oh, that's right. He got ROM and stuff for a while, didn't he?
He had Spieth, he had Rahm, he had, I can't remember.
Now he gets America's most hated golfer.
Now he gets Zach Johnson. So, yeah, his campaigning must not have been very good this year. I probably won't be playing a lot of them. If we move up a little, I like Lower and Dylan Wu. They've played together each of the last 2 years here. It was T10 in 2022. They're kind of a team that has popped on leaderboards at least. Most of the other guys in this range have just been pretty bad form. Looks like Smalley and Schmidt are going to get double-digit ownership. I'm fine just crossing them out. And then, yeah, it's pretty ugly. Hubbard and Brehm, Justin Suh, Rico Hoey. I think Hoey's a pretty good ball striker and Suh's, you know, really good putter. So if you want to play that angle.
That's what I wrote up. They're the one kind of alternate skill set that I wrote up in my GPP article this week. Hoey can't putt. And he does everything else okay, and Justin Suh can putt and doesn't do everything else all that great. So maybe it works out, and they're 6,900. So if you're looking for something down there, I don't mind that. But it's not because I love that group as much as it is that I just can't find a reason to play much else.
And there are some names that I haven't seen in a while down here in the sixes.
There are some names, including the 64-year-old friend whose name
Russ
I forgot.
Cochran.
Yes, that's it. That's paired with Eric Cole, and I just have to know the story. But we've got Sangmoon Bae in the field this week.
Bronson Burgoon, remember him?
Bronson Burgoon, he was a thing for about 6 months. Zach Blair is in the field this week.
Streb and Merritt played together each of the last 4 years.
Toasty with Ted Potter. Ted Potter, your poor soul. Hope you don't hit a bad shot all week.
Yeah. Oh, how great would it be if the fight broke out between teammates?
Well, he would be on the top of the list to possibly start it. Francesco Molinari and Luke Donald turning back the clock a little bit. But, like, you know, what would be fun is that there's, like, you know, some of these guys that don't have status or anything. Like, what if one of these groups, like, wins the tournament? That's not going to happen, but it'd be fun.
What about Watney and Hoffman? They play together every year here, and they've made 4 or 5 cuts.
I mean Watney hasn't made a PGA Tour.
They're not the same. They're not the same as they once were. But they should require every team to submit like a 2-sentence description on how they ended up.
I want to know the Eric Cole story, and maybe there's something on Twitter somewhere, and I just haven't found it yet. But all right. Well, that's it's pretty much a look through the field. Again, try not to go into the sixes very much if you don't have to. I do want to really quickly here, if Steve doesn't mind, I can take over the screen share. So again, there's no snake draft this week. I do want to show off our SimLabs tool a little bit. I was messing around with this earlier today. We did get this up and running for this week. But again, there's only one of the two teammates in here. So just to show you how easy this is, if you want to, if you're not currently a premium subscriber over at RotoGrinders, check it out. You can do our SimLabs tool, which basically simulates the result of the golf tournament, you know, thousands of times and gives you kind of a breakdown of how our simulations expect the tournament to play out. So if I say that I'm going to build, say, let's just do 10 lineups in a large field GPP. So you just have to give a few inputs here, right? Large field GPP. And if you want the results range, if I pick very low, it's going to go basically in line with our projections. If I want more variant lineups, I'm going to pick high here. But if you really trust the projections, you go very low. This tournament may be a little bit more variant. So maybe I'm just going to go low here instead of very low. And then you can pick certain players that you want to include in every lineup if you want to. This basically has every golfer in the field. I'm not going to fill that in for now. I'm just going to hit get lineups. And it's just going to give me 10 lineups based on those filters that I just created. And eventually it will spit out my 10 lineups. So then for a large field tournament with low variance from our projections, you can see it, the first lineup it spit out, Schauffele, Morikawa. So it has the double spend ups. And then some values, Kevin Yu, Silverman, Thurston Lawrence, and JJ Spahn. So our projections kind of like those lower end guys a little bit for large field tournaments. Again, if I were to pick single entry, I'd get different types of lineups. But cool thing is you can either download the lineups right here to use and upload to DraftKings, or I can sync them to Lineup HQ. So if I hit this button that syncs to Lineup HQ, you see it says lineup synced. And then if I go to our golf lineup optimizer, it's going to hopefully tell me that it imported 10 lineups. There it did, imported 10 of 10 lineups from SimLabs. And then you can see the 10 lineups right there, and it gives you the exposure to the players. So 40% Gim, 40% Morikawa. And again, I could have locked somebody into every lineup if I wanted to. But you can see if I would have done that without talking while I was doing it, I could have built 10 lineups based on our projections in about 30 seconds. And then I can use those in any of my DraftKings lineups. So check that out. One of our many tools that we have added over at RotoGrinders with version 2.0. Take it for a spin. I know we usually have a discount code that we can offer on the first month of premium. And we'll see if Steve can drop that in the YouTube chat if you're watching us there. And while you're there, be sure to give us a thumbs up. We appreciate that very much. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, no snake draft this week. DraftKings does not have them available. They should be back next week for the next full field event. And no to anybody that we've missed, anybody else you want to talk about. Obviously, we got through this pretty quick. So anything else that you want to pass along?
Nah, 30 minutes is plenty for the Zurich. Don't go too heavy with your bankroll this week. Just have some fun with it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a nice, fun tournament to sweat, but probably a good idea not to to get crazy this week. So we'll be back with the normal swing of things next Tuesday, same time, same place. Thanks to Noto for joining me. Thanks to Steve for producing behind the scenes as always as well. And, of course, I'm Justin. We hope you all have a great week, and we'll catch you back here next Tuesday, everybody. Take care.